as well while they have this church going on. So they're really, really a blessing. They really are. What's going on in Belgium? Speaking of missionaries, I talked to Brother Christopher Rue this week. I've talked to him a few times. He is a missionary that we support in Ukraine, and he's never been here. We support him, but he's never been to our church, and we have been trying to get settled on a date when he can come. And the reason for that, I have asked him when he does come, I want him to take an entire Sunday when he is here. He has been in Ukraine for a number of years, and he has a tremendous work going on over there prior to the war in Ukraine, obviously. And so I want him, when he comes, I want him to take the Sunday school, the 11 o'clock, and the 2 p.m. service all to show what the work that he's doing over there and also to preach for us. And so hopefully in the near future we can get that date finalized when Brother Chris and Christopher Rue will be here. His prayer letters is over there on the board if you would like to read up on some of the things that the Lord is using him to accomplish there and be a blessing, I'm sure. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, the first place we're going to be is in 2 Kings chapter 19. We are going to continue with Bible terminology. This would be lesson 9. Those of you who in the classes would be word number 81. So we'll start there in just a moment. If you find your place in 2 Kings 19, we'll pray together, and then we'll just get started right in the lesson. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here this evening. We sure do love you, and thank you, Lord, for folks who've come out on this Wednesday afternoon. Thank you for the good missionaries and for the privilege and opportunity it is to support missions and mission work. We thank you for a church that's willing to give of their hard-earned money, Lord, to keep missionaries on the field. We thank you for that. And I pray for Brother Haley there in Belgium. They have a great task ahead of them, and I pray you'd help them to raise the funds that's necessary, Lord, to purchase the property they need, Lord, so that they can continue to grow and carry on the Lord's work. We pray for that and pray for all of our missionaries. Pray for Brother Rue, we talked to this week. Lord, we pray for him as well, that you'd help him in the work that he has going on there in Ukraine. We pray for that as well. And Lord, for all that you do, we'll certainly not fail to thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say one more thing about missionaries, and I'll get started. I talked to Brother Lee Cadenhead just the other day, and he called me to tell me about the fact that he had, they had organized the church, they baptized 28 new converts. And with those 28 converts that they baptized, they started a new church there in, where is he at? Zimbabwe. And so what a blessing that is. So they got that started. I think it was a couple of weeks ago he called me. I didn't even tell you guys that for a couple of services now. Can't never seem to remember it. So you pray for Brother Lee and the good work that's going on there in Zimbabwe as well. All right, word number 81 is despise. The word despise in all of its English word forms is found 120 times in 114 verses in our King James Bible. Maybe the best verse to understand its meaning would be here in 2 Kings chapter 19, 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 21. The Bible says this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. So the word despised means to have the lowest opinion of. It means to dislike intensely or to loathe. Now look in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We read in Isaiah chapter 53 concerning man's opinion of Christ Jesus. And notice what the Bible uses that same word. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 3. Isaiah 53 verse number 3. The Bible says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now notice the tense here in verse number 3. It says he is despised, not he was despised. He is despised. So that is continuing to be the attitude of people today, the attitude of lost people today concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, come to Ezekiel. You're close to it there. Come to Ezekiel chapter 25. Look at word number 82, despite. D-E-S-P-I-T-E, despite. Ezekiel chapter 25. Ezekiel chapter 25, and then we'll get a place in the New Testament. We'll get Hebrews chapter number 10. So if you want to find two places, Ezekiel chapter 25, we're going to look at it first, and then we'll flip to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at the word despite. The word despite in all of its English forms is found five times in five verses in the King James Bible. Ezekiel chapter 25, verse number 6, the Bible says this, "For thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast clapped thine hands and stamped with the feet and rejoiced in heart with all thy despite against the land of Israel." Now, look at Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll make comment. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. The Bible says, "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Now, although an acceptable definition for of despite would be in spite of, that's pretty easy to understand. In both of these verses that we read, Ezekiel 25 and also in Hebrews chapter number 10, the definition is much stronger. So a second definition for the word despite is to act with extreme malice, violent hatred, or feelings of defiance. So a second definition would be to act with extreme malice, violent hatred, or feelings of defiance. Just as the second meaning, just as this second meaning is how the Arminianites rejected or rejoiced at the trouble that came to Israel, the sinner today revels in defying the attempts of the Holy Spirit to draw men to Christ. They despise the Spirit of God. Now, the word number 83, come all the way back to Genesis. You can find Titus while you're right there at Hebrews if you want to. Titus would be pretty close. We're going to be there in a minute, but we're going to go all the way to Genesis chapter 41 first. Look at word number 83, which is discreet. Genesis 41. We'll look at two verses in Genesis 41. We'll look at verse 33, and then we'll look at verse 39. We're looking at the word discreet. The word discreet is found three times in three verses, and the word discreetly is found one time, and the word discretion is found nine times in nine verses in the King James Bible. We're looking at the word discreet. Genesis 41, look at verse 33. "Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt." Now look at verse 39. It was verse 31. Look at verse 39. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." Now, come to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And look at the word discreet here in the New Testament. And then we'll make a comment or two about this. Titus chapter number 2. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 3. Titus chapter 2, begin reading in verse number 3. The Bible says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." Now, verse 5, we find our word, "to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." And so the word discreet means to be wise. It means to be cautious. It means to be self-restrained or careful. Now, a man or a woman who is discreet has the discernment to look ahead and avoid error or evil. So we need to be discreet. In Genesis, they was looking for a man that was discreet. The Bible talks about a woman being discreet here in Titus chapter 2. So the aged women are to teach the younger women how to keep from being deceived by the devil. Discreet people learn to make do with what they have instead of trading what they have for a dream in the future. A discreet woman will not bankrupt her family and mortgage her children's future by piling up debts with unnecessary things. But she will wisely and cheerfully make do with such things as she has to be discreet. Okay, come to Romans chapter 12. We'll look at word number 84, dissimulation, dissimulation. Word number 84, dissimulation, Romans chapter 12. We'll look at this only two times in the Bible. We'll look at both of them, Romans 12 and Galatians 2. We'll look at the one here in Romans 12 in verse number 9 first. Dissimulation. The Bible says in Romans 12 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." Now, look at Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 13. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 13. We'll look at this the second time it appears in the Bible, only twice. The Bible says, "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." So the word dissimulation means, let's just dissect the word and look at it like that. First of all, the prefix dis, D-I-S, means to remove or to separate or to part from, as in the words discover or discourage. Now, the root word simulate means to have the appearance of without reality. So it has the appearance of something, but in reality, that's not the case. So we are to dissimulate means to disguise your true feelings about. So the Bible says, "Let love be without dissimulation." Don't be hypocritical. It means that he was carried away. The Bible says at the end of Galatians chapter 2, verse number 13, that Barnabas also was carried away with their simulation or dissimulation. So they were disguised. Their true feelings were disguised. They were carried about with hypocrisy. So we are to endeavor to have a genuine unity, not a false unity. Here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 9, the command is that we are to be filled with genuine, Holy Spirit-produced love, not a false, man-made, make-believe love. We're to love without dissimulation, without a false love. Now, a word very similar to that, and the next word that we will look at is word number 85. It's dissemble. Now, we talked about dissimulation. Dissemble obviously is a root word for that, but it actually has a different meaning. We see it right there in Galatians chapter 2. We read in verse number 13 where the Bible says, "And other Jews dissembled." And so we see the word there. It appears, the word dissemble appears in the King James Bible five times in some different forms. And these are the ones who ultimately intend to break up the unity of. When someone pretends to be your friend, pretends to love the Lord, pretends to agree with the doctrine, etc., they are actually an opponent. Their agenda is called dissembling. And so dissemblers speak words designed to hurt and ultimately tear apart. They are very dangerous people. And so how does the word, the previous word, dissimulation, and this word, dissemble, how do they differ? This is how they differ. Dissimulation emphasizes the dishonest and pretentious manner in which an act is carried out or is done, while dissembleth emphasizes the actual act of breaking up or accomplishing the act of separation. And so one is an intention and one is finished. All right, come to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. We'll look at the word distaff. D-I-S-T-A-F-F. Distaff. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Distaff. Found only one time in the Bible. That is in Proverbs 31. chapter that's known as the chapter of the virtuous woman. Proverbs chapter 31, distaff. Look at verse number 19. Proverbs 31, verse 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Now, believe it or not, I had the hardest time trying to get a good definition for this simple word in the Bible. It's the only time that's found in the Bible. I looked at multiple dictionaries and different things. And all of the definitions were very similar in what they were. It just wasn't really, they just weren't really written in a way that maybe I'm too dumb to understand. And maybe that's what it was. But a distaff, the best I can tell, is literally a stick with a bundle of flax or wool on it, which the fibers were drawn out or twisted or spun into thread. So it's like, I guess it's some type of instrument that is used to use wool or flax to spin or extract thread or make thread from that wool or flax. So there you go. See how confused I am about that? And you are as well, and all the dictionaries. But it is something used in making thread. How about that? All right. Come to Isaiah chapter 13. Well, look at the word doleful. D-O-L-E-F-U-L. Doleful. Isaiah 13. This word is only found twice in the Bible. We'll read both of the definitions. There's one in Isaiah 13 and one in Micah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 13 and Micah chapter 2. Isaiah 13:21, the Bible says, "But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there." Now in Micah chapter 2 and verse number 4, we see this word again. Micah chapter 2 verse number 4, the Bible says, "In that day shall one take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields." So the word doleful, as you can imagine, means full of dole. So the word dole means sorrow or grief. And so this word doleful means full of sorrow, whether it be full of sorrow at heart or full of grief or full of pain. Now, in the verse that I read in Isaiah chapter 13, in Isaiah's prophecy, in verse number 21, it is that such will be the songs of the strange and satanic creatures that would inhabit the ruins of Babylon during the coming age. Micah tells Israel in Micah chapter 2, verse number 4, that that will be the tone of their cries under the judgment of God. It'll be doleful. There'll be sorrow of heart. It'll be full of grief. It'll be to feel pain. All right, word number 88 is enjoin. E-N-J-O-I-N, enjoin. The word enjoin is only found one time in the Bible. Come all the way back to the New Testament, to the book of Philemon. This kid grew up hearing that being called Philemon. I may not be pronouncing it right either. Who knows? It might be. It's the little bitty book between Titus and Hebrews. You find Hebrews, be one page in your Bible before you get there. Philemon, I think is the proper pronunciation. It is tonight while I'm preaching. When you're preaching, you can call it what you want to. And we'll know what it is. Philemon, we're looking at the word enjoin. Now, I'll say this. We'll read the verse in just a moment. To enjoin is to lay upon, or it's like an order or a command. It means to direct with authority. It's a picture of force, like a parent commands a child, or like God commands His saints. It's more authoritative than to direct and less domineering than command, if that makes any sense. Look at Philemon chapter 1. There isn't but one chapter. Look at verses 8 and 9. It says, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." This word also appears three other times in the Bible, in Esther, Job, and also in Hebrews. It means to lay upon or to give an order or command, to direct with authority. All right, come to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. John chapter 13, we'll look at word number 89. And the word is ensample, not example, ensample. E-N-S-A-M-P-L-E. Ensample. The word ensample is found three times in three verses. The word ensamples, plural, is found three times in three verses as well. This is a really interesting thing. John chapter 13. Now, the word is close enough in meaning to the word example that the majority, if not almost all, of the modern Bible translators change the word ensample to example. And actually, by definition, both ensample and example mean a pattern or a model. It means to imitate or copy. But there is one difference in the words. You say, well, if they mean the same, what is the difference in the words? Well, in six cases, in the six cases where ensamples or ensample show up in the Bible, every single time it is in the plural form. And when the word example shows in the Bible, it is in the singular form. And so you have guessed it. The word ensamples is the plural form of example. And we'll give you some Bible examples to show you how that is. So what we're saying is ensample is the plural form of example. So the ensamples are patterns or models to imitate or follow. Now, look at this truth here in Jeremiah, in John chapter 13 and verse number 15. I'll give you a couple of examples. I have a bunch. I don't know if I'll read all of them. John 13, verse number 15, it says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." So, Jesus is the singular pattern or model in this verse. He is the example. Now, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll have you look at this one. Then I may read some of these to you. I actually have a lot of the examples to show you that every time ensample shows up, it's always used plural. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 9. The Bible says, "Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow," look at this, "us." Follow us. So, plural, Paul, Silas, and Timothy are the plural patterns. So, follow us. Now, I'm going to read you some of these. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11, it says, "Now all these things happened unto them," plural, "for ensamples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us," plural, "for ensample." 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 9, "Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves," plural, "an ensample unto you to follow us." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 3, "Neither being as lords," plural, "over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock," which is also plural. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them," plural, "an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly." So if I'm not mistaken, that's all six times the word ensample or ensamples is found in the Bible, and each time it is the plural form of example. All right, come to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. No, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm about to skip a whole word. Miss Barbara would come to me and she'll say, "Preacher, this word was not on the test. I mean, this word was not in my notes and it's on the test." We're going to get it. And I'm not picking on Miss Barbara. I like her dedication to getting all the information. 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll look at the word ensue, E-N-S-U-E. ensue. The word ensue is found only one time in the Bible. Ensue, E-N-S-U-E. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Now, close kin to the word ensue would be a word we're familiar with, and that is pursue. So the difference lies in the fact that the word pursue means to follow with a purpose to capture, while the word ensue means after you have caught it, you continue to walk in that path or in that pattern. You continue to walk in that victory or that achievement. So the word ensue means to follow as a consequence or as a result of. I have achieved my goal. I'm going to continue in that. So we are ensuing it. Now, so God tells us to stay after peace. That's our verse. See our verse, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Whence he finds peace, you continue in that peace. Peace is a very elusive thing, especially among a congregation of saved sinners. Peace is an elusive thing. Every faithful pastor and deacon know that a large part of the ministry is spent ensuing peace. It seems like as soon as you get one thing settled or one situation settled or one problem solved, there's three more waiting for your attention. And it's just one thing after another. So we're not only to pursue peace, we are to ensue it once we get it. Now hold your place there, because we're going to come right back and look at that same verse here in just a little bit and look at another word in that when we get to eschew here in just a few minutes. Now, but in the meantime, we're going to look at the word entreat, word number 91, entreat. Now there's two, there's E-N-T-R-E-A-T or I-N-T-R-E-A-T, both of those in the Bible. The words entreat, E-N-T-R-E-A-T, in all its English word forms, appears 12 times in 12 verses. And the word entreat, I-N-T-R-E-A-T, in all of its English word forms, is found 32 times in 33 verses in the Bible. And so let's find out what the difference is between the two words. I will tell you this, they are not the same. We know that because they're spelled differently. Now, we'll find out what the difference is in a minute. In fact, they have two very different meanings as they are found in the pages of Scripture. The first one, entreat, E-N-T-R-E-A-T, means to treat or deal with. It means to manage. You're treating something, you're managing something, you're dealing with something. Come to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Getting your Bible calisthenics in today. Wednesday night Bible study. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse number 11. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. So entreat thee well. Going to deal with you. Going to treat or deal with you well. Means to manage. Now, Job, let's look at another one of these. Job chapter 24. Job precedes the Psalms. Job 24, verse 21. Job 24, verse 21. The Bible says, he evil entreateth the barren that beareth not, and doeth not good to the widow. So on the other hand, so we see that the word entreat means to treat or to deal with, to manage. So the other word, entreat, I-N-T-R-E-A-T, means to beg. It means to ask earnestly. It means to beseech or to pray with urgency. We are entreating God. We are begging God. We are interceding with God for a need or a situation that we have. I can show you that right in the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. Entreat, I-N-T-R-E-A-T, is to beg, to ask earnestly, to beseech. Genesis chapter 25 and verse number 21. Genesis 25, verse 21. The Bible says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And so he pleaded with God, he begged God, he interceded with God, and God entreated him, and his wife conceived. What a blessing. So that is the difference in entreat and entreat. All right, now, I asked you just a moment ago to hold your place in 1 Peter chapter 3. How many of you did that? All right, two of us. So 1 Peter chapter 3 again, verse number 11, we'll look at the word eschew. We talked about, I mentioned it when we were in the verse. I guess it probably wouldn't have hurt to have done those out of alphabetical order, but it's something about this OCD that's just hard to do that. Eschew, E-S-H-E-S-C-H-E-W, eschew, word number 92, eschew. So the words eschew, eschewed, escheweth are found four times in four verses in our King James Bible. Now, eschew means to flee from. It means to shun. It means to seek to avoid. It means to keep oneself clear of. So we talked about the word ensue just a moment ago at the end of the verse. Means when you find something, you hold on to it. So eschew means to flee from, it means to shun, it means to seek to avoid, or to keep oneself clear of. So when you ensue something, you pursue it, you capture it, you keep it, but when you eschew something, you turn away from it, you run away from it, you go the other way, you don't want to be near it. So that's what the verse says. Look at 1 Peter 3, verse number 11. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and eschew it. Or ensue. I think I got eschew and ensue. Yeah, those words mixed up now in my mind. Eschew and ensue. There we go. So you flee evil and do good, and then you seek peace, and when you find it, you hold on to it, is the meaning of that verse. Now, I want to look at something. Come to with this word. Come to Job. Come to Job again, chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. What an amazing man Job was. What an example. What an example for you and I, Job. Look at this in Job. In Job chapter 1, in verse number 1. Look what the Bible says. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God, and look, eschewed evil. So he eschewed evil. He shunned or fled from evil. Now, I want to mention this, and we'll read the verse in a minute. The active use of eschew is escheweth. And that's in the Bible a time or two. So Job has not only fled from evil, he continues to flee from evil. Look what the Bible says in verse number 8. That was verse number 1. Look at verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. So I mentioned the word escheweth is the active use of eschew. So not only has Job fled from evil or shunned evil, he continues to flee from and eschew evil. Or what a blessing that is. Now, look at chapter 2. You're in Job chapter 1. Look at Job chapter 2 and look at verse number 3. Job chapter 2, look at verse number 3. We see it again. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still holdeth fast his integrity, even though thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. So three times the Bible speaks of Job, or states that Job continues to flee from evil. Now, many of us, have at times fled from evil only to return to it. But the Bible, speaking of Job here, talking about him being a perfect and upright man, not only did he flee evil, he continued to flee from evil. May God help us to follow his example and to continue to flee from evil. Now, come to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Joshua's after Deuteronomy. We'll look at the word spy. Joshua chapter 14. Now, this word spy is spelled E, S-P-Y. It's found two times in two verses, and the word spied is found two times in two verses. And I know every time you read it, you say it's spy, but that's not, it's spy. Job 14, verse number 7, look what the Bible says. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. I don't know what's the matter with me this evening. I can't read. And he brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Now, there's several. I'm going to read a couple more. You don't have to turn. Jeremiah 48, verse number 19, says, O inhabitant of Aor, stand by the way and spy. Seek, ask him that fleeth and heareth, that is, and her that escapeth, and ask what is done. And Genesis 42, here's probably a place that you recognize the word. Genesis 42, verse 27, the Bible says, And one of them opened his sack and gave his ass provender in the inn. He spied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. Those were Joseph's brothers who were turning back after visiting with Joseph, and they had filled their sacks full of money. Now, this is another word thought difficult only due to mispronunciation. There are many English words that would begin with a silent letter. I'll give you some examples. Pneumonia, gnat, hour. Another one of those words is spy. The actual punctuation, it is actually pronounced spy with the beginning letter E being silent. And obviously the word spy means to inspect narrowly, to examine, to keep watch upon. It is a synonym to the word descry, which means to spy out or to make known. So the word espy is spy. Okay, about that. All right, eunuch. Come to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Word number 94 is eunuch. The word eunuch is found seven times, and eunuchs is found 20 times in 23 verses. King James Bible. I guess the most familiar eunuch in the Bible is most likely the Ethiopian eunuch found in Acts chapter number 8. The English word eunuch carries with it two specific meanings. One of those is to keep or guard the couch or bed chambers. And the second one is a male of the human species who are incapable of sex or reproduction. Now, because of their sexual condition, these boys and men were frequently employed as chamberlain, an attendant who has charge of the chambers. These have long been employed for the keeping of women's chambers for obvious reasons. Now, here in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is answering the disciples' questions concerning marriage. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 9 through 11, when he got down to verse number 12, he said some things about... He mentioned three varieties of eunuchs. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 19 and verse number 12. I may have said Matthew 13. I did, because that's where I turned to. Matthew 19. I'll give you time to turn over a page or two. Matthew chapter 19, and we'll look at verse number 12. Jesus is going to mention three varieties of eunuchs. He said, For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. So, there are some who are born with this limitation. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. So some have had a surgery performed by man to make them eunuchs. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. So some individuals have made a decision to make themselves a eunuch in their venture to serve the Lord. So that is a eunuch. He is not able to reproduce. Jeremiah chapter 44. We'll look at word number 95. Jeremiah chapter 44. For those of you who are barely awake and wondering, we're going to try our best to make it to word number 100. Jeremiah 44. Look at word number 95. Excretion. Execretion is the proper pronunciation. E-X-E-C-R-A-T-I-O-N, execretion. It's found two times in two verses in our King James Bible. Both of those are in Jeremiah. We'll look at the one here in Jeremiah 44, verse number 12. And I will take the remnant of Judah, that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there. And they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even to the greatest by the sword and by the famine. And they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. Now, the other verse is chapter 42, verse 18. I'm not going to read it. But in both of these Bible verses, we can see that execration is the act of cursing. I'm not talking about cursing as far as someone using foul language. It is that a curse has been pronounced or utter detestation is expressed. There is an expectation of evil. Now, the word execration is a combination of ex, meaning out or from, and say, S-A-C-E-R, sayer, meaning holy or sacred. Therefore, this word is the opposite of being declared sacred. So it means something that is not sacred or ex-sacred. Something sacred is set apart by solemn religious ceremony, consecrated for holy use. So this is something that is cursed or judged by God. Now, as can be obvious, observed in both of these Bible uses, this word, it speaks to the nation of Israel, which is normally God's sanctified people, being Jehovah's utter detestation. Now, come to Psalm 145. We'll look at word number 96, the word extol, E-X-T-O-L. It's found four times in four verses. And the word extolled is found two times in two verses. We'll look at several of these here in the book of Psalms. Psalm 145 and verse number 1. Why am I having trouble finding Psalms? Here we go. Psalm 145 and verse number 1. The psalmist said, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Psalm 30 and verse number 1. The Bible says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Psalm 66, verse 17, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Psalm 68, verse number 4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice before him. So the word extol means to place on high. It means to lift up. It means to elevate by praise or to magnify. And so David's desire was to become occupied in praising or lifting up the Lord. And that should also be our desired occupation as well. We should desire to extol the Lord. We should desire to magnify Him, to praise Him, or to lift Him up by praise. There's two other references to that we won't read. Isaiah 52:13 and also Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 37. Okay, come to Jeremiah chapter 4. We'll look at the word fallow. F-A-L-L-O-W. Jeremiah, we'll look at the word fallow. Jeremiah is before Ezekiel, after Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 4. We'll also look at Hosea chapter 10, just for this word fallow. The word fallow is found three times in three verses in the Bible. We'll look at the last two references, which is Jeremiah and Hosea. And likely these two verses are the most self-defining for the word. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 3 says this, For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Now, the Bible says this in Hosea 10 and verse number 12. It says, Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Now, as a noun, the word fallow speaks of a land that has lain a year or more untilled or unseeded. So it is land that has not been plowed, not been planted in at least a year. So as an adjective, fallow refers to the ground that has been left untilled or unsowed
after having been plowed and ready for culture. Although the land was fertile and prepared, it has fallen into neglect. The reason it's called fallow ground, one reason is because it's the color pale yellow, which is the color of naked ground. The cries of the prophets Jeremiah and Hosea are to the careless in Israel that they have allowed the country to fall into spiritual neglect. He's telling them to plow up your fallow ground. Place has fallen into neglect. Now, come to 1 Kings chapter 4. We'll look at a word that is very familiar, very similar to that, and that is fallow deer. Talk about the word fallow. In 1 Kings chapter 4, look at the word fallow deer. Now, the word, this is an interesting thing. The word fallow deer is in the Bible only one time. But another place in the Bible, the third time that the word fallow is found, is the Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 14. The word fallow deer is two words. But in 1 Kings chapter 4, the word fallow deer is one word. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 22. The Bible said, "And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour and 80 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen and 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep, besides harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl." So obviously this is another member of the animal kingdom, no doubt about that. That's not too hard to figure out. This one is not too difficult because fallow also refers to the color pale yellow or the color of naked ground, as we mentioned earlier. And so this species of deer is named so because it can lie in tilled soil and blend in perfectly. It's called fallow deer. The other reference is Deuteronomy 14 in verse number 5, and it says this. Now, I wish you would look at that to see that the two words in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 23, it's one word. But in Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse number 5, fallow deer was two words. It says, "The hart and the roebuck and the fallow deer and the wild goat and the prague and the wild ox and the shamos." The reference here shows the word as two words. I don't know why it's different. It just is. Jeremiah chapter 52. We'll look at word number 99. Jeremiah chapter 52. The word is fillet, F-I-L-L-E-T, pronounced the same as fillet, but it is fillet here in Jeremiah chapter 52. The word fillet in all of its English forms is found 12 times in 11 verses, and the word fillet has something to do with the construction of the temple. Look at Jeremiah 52, verse 21. It says, "And concerning the pillars, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits, and a fillet of 12 cubits did compass it, and the thickness thereof was 4 fingers, and it was hollow." So, if we were in the kitchen, it would mean a boneless strip of meat. But since we're discussing architecture, fillet is, number one, a narrow strip or brand between moldings. Number two, it is a ridge between the indentions of a fluted column. We have fluted columns on our front porch. The indention in the middle of those is called a fillet. So the next time you're outside, you say, "Oh, look, that's got some nice fillets in it." And people will be like, "Well, this guy's lost his mind." Man, that's what a fillet is. Now, everybody will leave church, they'll be looking at them columns. They've never known about that before. All right, here's the word y'all been looking for. Word number 100. Come to Ezekiel chapter 4. Ezekiel chapter 4. The word is fitches. F-I-T-C-H-E-S. It is found 4 times in 3 verses in the King James Bible. The word fitches. We'll read this Ezekiel chapter 4, verse number 9. It says, "Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. 390 days shalt thou eat thereof." So We know right away that it is obviously a food. Let me read Isaiah 28:25. It said, "When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches, and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat, and the appointed barley and the rye in their place?" Verse 27 of that same Isaiah 28, "For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod." So a fitch is, or fitches are vegetables. And in all actuality, they are a chickpea. And they are called a chickpea because they're somewhat smaller than a regular pea. It is cultivated primarily in southern Europe and is cooked and eaten in the same way as lentils. And so a fitch, F-I-T-C-H, is a vegetable. It is a chickpea or chickpea. Father, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the opportunity to look at some words in the Bible. Today it's always fun for me. I enjoy looking at these words, finding out their meaning, different things concerning them. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to retain some of this stuff in our memory. And Lord, we sure thank you for the Bible and the opportunity to read it and study it together. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's get a prayer can name again this evening.